World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Morning, morning, morning. Hope you're all doing well. This is JR, not Coach this morning. He's in route. And we got a good lineup for you this morning, folks. Good lineup for you. You know, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer is a coach, but if you've ever played football, you've ever been in sports, you have equipment managers. And I consider myself one of the equipment managers. We're going to have Craig on. He's an equipment manager. And Mel is one of the equipment managers as well. And Mel, why don't you come on in this morning? I think you had an event last night.
Yeah, actually, I think I'm a cheerleader. I'm going to go with cheerleader.
Okay.
I'm lifting all you guys up, so you're awesome. But anyway, no, Rochelle and I had a great online Bible study last night. It was our part three of our Revelation Ecclesia Bible study, and we had so much fun. We covered the church. We did an overview on Ephesus. We covered Smyrna and Pergamum. Like, we're like ninjas. We're like popping through the Bible. We went back to Genesis because really to understand Revelation, you need to understand the seed war and the Nephilim and all of that Genesis 6 conspiracy. So, but anyway, it was great. You know, we were a little rusty, I think, getting back at it because we had kind of a long break, but it was great. So we hope that many of you will join us next time. And but it was a great time. So thanks for everybody that came.
Thanks, Mel. Appreciate what you're doing. I'd love to attend, but I've got three meetings I have to make a decision on, and now you've got the fourth one. And I already got some commitments in, but I'm sure it's a great, great event. And today is communion. And before we get to communion, I want to play a short clip because I'm the family guy. I want to play a short clip for you, which we're going to talk about if we get time.
This story is going to sound crazy, like really crazy.
Marriage rates have been declining since the 70s, and 2021 was the first year that more children were born out of wedlock than in it.
For the first time ever since records began, 50.1% of women are childless by 30.
The U.S. fertility rate has plummeted for the past 15 years.
But people are choosing to get married later or live together beforehand or even not getting married at all.
The nuclear family has almost been destroyed in the United States. You know, how many kids come from, you know, two-parent household with both parents that were their biological parent?
18%. People get married on average like 10 years later now than they did.
It's destroying the country.
If there is one thing that is apocalyptically different about our generation compared to every single other generation in history, it is the near total disintegration of the family unit, at the very least in the Western world. In 1960, 73% of children were living in a family with two married parents who were on their first marriage. By 1980, that had dropped to 61% of children, and today it is less than half. Almost 50% of all the marriages in the United States end in divorce, and researchers estimate that 41% of first marriages end in divorce. If we look at the up-and-coming generation, only half of today's teens will go on to get married at any point in their life, in spite of the fact that almost all of them aspire to marriage at some point in their lives. And families where the parents are unmarried do not fare as well. Cohabiting parents only make up 19% of all couples, but they make up 50% of family breakdown. And some people might respond, well, that's people's choices, people's desires change over time. This is fine, it's not a problem. The issue is that it is a problem. We can clearly see that. The destruction of the Western family is leading to the destruction of the West as a whole. Fatherlessness and broken families lead to a vastly increased chance of going to prison, vastly higher rates of violent crime, increased mental health problems, increased government spending. fatherlessness is the single largest driving factor behind poverty, vastly more so than race. Did you know that in America, a white child from a mother-led household is 3 times more likely to end up in poverty than a black child from a two-parent household? And it is not just an American thing. The same pattern is repeated everywhere. In Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, Scandinavia, the household is declining, and where it declines, the society falls apart. You need to hear this. The destruction of the family is the destruction of the Western world.
Thanks. Stunning, folks, stunning. I couldn't have said it better. As a matter of fact, that's why I play that, because I can't say it any better. As goes the family, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. Folks, we're headed to where Rome and Greece were. The first thing they did was destroy the family. Speaking of church, Joe Carricker, why don't you come in, brother? We got communion this morning, and Joe's on site, but he's going to do a communion for us.
Morning, JR.
Morning. Morning. Good to have you in here this morning.
Good to be here. Though it's a little bit early on this side of the world.
Yeah, well, I had to get up at 6 o'clock this morning to be here. I mean, I'm hardly awake. What time is it, Joe?
I got up at 3:24.
Yeah.
And so as not to wake anybody else up, I didn't let any of the backup failsafe alarms go. So I had no other alarms, just my 3:24. But hopefully no one else is going to open up the room and turn on all the fans and noise that can happen in this big room. But otherwise, it's nice and quiet here. A little bit cold outside, but. About like Maine outside, because we're up in the mountains a little bit. So,
yeah, I've got my jacket on this morning. Dr. Paul's got his on. You got yours on. Go ahead, Joe, please.
Okay. Morning, everybody. The reading this morning is Romans 5:12-21. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness in unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Dearly Father, we come to you from many parts of this great country you have seen fit to bless us with. And you know our hearts, Lord. You know that we're trying to make a difference. Not trying, we actually are making a difference, Lord, because we have faith. We understand that with your Spirit in us, we can help you achieve many things in this country and in this world. But as we cannot see what is changing, we ask you to strengthen our faith that we may help you bring into the world the changes that you are bringing in now. Everything is in motion, Lord. Everything is in motion except that which is bound fast to you. And so, Lord, we ask that you help us. Help us to have discernment. Help us to remember that we are your ambassadors. So help us to remember to do what Jesus would do when we encounter situations and need to respond in the better manner, the better way, the walk with Christ. It's not always easy, Lord, but let us surrender and let you walk in our shoes with us, Lord. And we remember that communion can be the meal that heals, and let it that be that today, Lord. Anybody with bruised or sick or broken bodies or spirits or souls, let them receive their healing, remembering that the Lord Jesus Christ told a woman with the issue of blood, woman, your faith has made you whole. So let our faith help us to receive the Lord's healing and be made whole. And we are grateful for communion, Lord. We ask that you bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you forgive us of our transgressions as we come into your sight during this holy moment. And we ask you keep us all safe this day, whether we're home or traveling or whatever we're doing, and also our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen.
As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yeah, you're amazing. You are amazing. Your heart, it's in it. You can really tell it. No, we just took communion. I'm going to bring Craig in here. We just took communion, and I'm going to start this off with a question. What is communion? I'll leave it up to Craig or Joe to answer that question. What is it? What's the purpose of it?
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, we are told, if not commanded by our Lord, to remember what he did. And communion allows us to remember that time at the Lord's Supper when he took communion, and then afterwards what happened to him that day. And then I think it goes back to the Old Testament. It goes all across the Bible. I think the first communion might have been Melchizedek and Abraham.
That's right.
That was wine and bread. Oh, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit big time right now.
That's exactly right, Joe. You're right.
Yeah. And it goes up to today, right here, right now. And it is, I think, a miraculous thing that we take for granted because we're only accustomed to what we can see, touch, hear, and feel, and smell. But it's a lot more than that. And I think it's important that we cleanse ourselves a little bit, asking for forgiveness of our sins when we do it, so we are more righteous in the Lord's sight at that moment. We can't walk through a day or an hour without tripping a bit, but we can take that moment, this moment, more seriously. Because it is serious, and it's a privilege. Because if you think about it, the creator of the universe gave his only begotten the Son, that we who believe in him may not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because I think there's a whole much more that's not within our need to know, that's on our path in the future.
We're going to have to extend the program this morning, Joe.
Pardon?
We're going to have to extend the program this morning.
I'm sorry.
We go for 2 or 3 hours.
You asked a lawyer a question, and you know, and like Dickens, we're paid by the word. So
I love it. Thank you, Joe. Thanks for getting up so early and help. You know, this program is such a blessing because it's church. It is a church. This is where the body gets together. And we don't just talk about the Bible. We talk about doing the Bible, but there are things that are going on, like communion, what you're talking about. I think there's something happening on a national basis, isn't there, Craig?
Yeah. You know, and hey, this kind of ties, you know, kind of my thought process. So it ties into the family, right? I mean, yep. Satan didn't have the family from the beginning, right? I mean, he wanted to create controversy between Adam and Eve, which he did. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you get out the gate, you know, Cain kills his brother Abel. I mean, talk about family problems right out the gate, right? But, you know, when you think about it, JR, even the stuff that you're doing, just think about the family dinner table. Think about that. How has that changed? Fast food, microwaves, busy schedules, everybody's kind of eating in their own time. Very rarely do we ever sit around that table, right?
Yep.
And, you know, what I really appreciate about Joe is when he really, you know, talked to Coach about this and Coach, you know, gave him the ball and ran with it. This is, in my opinion, humble, I hope. It's one of the few things that we agree in one accord of. You know, the New Testament church was they were in one place in one accord. That's Acts 2:1. And, you know, we all have a lot of different points on this thing, but we all can come together and we agree on this. And this is a spiritual arrow. I think it's really one of the spiritual arrows that keeps this group together, in my opinion, because I think the Lord honors it and he blesses it because it's about him. It's not about us. Mm-hmm. So, but what I found interesting, and this just kind of came on my radar here about 2 weeks ago, is this organization, okay, it's called Awaken America or Awaken Tour, whatever, but it's they have rented the DC Mall from the Washington Monument, we know what that is, up to the Capitol. And what they're having is they're having 50 tents for each state to highlight the ministries that are going in each one of those states. But also they're going to have prayer. They're going to have foot washing stations at every one of these tents. They're going to be praying. And they have a 1 mile long communion table that they're going to have communion on Saturday, the 10th, I believe it is, next Saturday.
A mile long.
From the Washington Monument up to where the Capitol is on the National Mall.
Amen.
Wow.
And when I saw that, I was like, you know, I think this is a God-ordained thing for a God-ordained time. And I just wanted to share that website with you all in case some of you are in the area of the District of Columbia or you want to travel to it to participate in this. These are one of the few things that don't come along that often. Because of my proximity to DC, you know, about an hour away, I've gone to several events. I'm looking at a thing from October 4th, 1997. It's called Standing in the Gap, where 1 million men came to Washington, DC, and it has an overview picture of all these people lining up the mall. And I was there. I was standing in the gap. I didn't even understand what the gap was. But anyways, that's that. So, you know, anybody can ask questions, I guess, later, so we don't tie the show up with it. But that was one of the things. And then I was just going to go, you want to talk about the other two things that...
go ahead, please, Craig. Okay. And you have links that you can put in the messages over on the side? I guess our producer has that.
Mr. Producer does from the email. Okay.
Put that link for Jamie in there, too, as well, if you haven't already. Yeah, go ahead. Here's my concern. I don't want a 9/11 Charlie Kirk. I mean, there was a lot of prayer and church attendance and everything really looking up for Christianity after 9/11. And then what do you hear now? We cannot let this happen. This is an opportunity, folks. This is an opportunity. The people are going to listen to you now a lot more than they did before. But you've got number one, you have to start this now, but you also have to continue with it after that. That'll be the hard part. The easy part's right now when everybody's excited about it. But taking this beyond into 6 months to a year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, this, we've been handed an incredible, I can't say the word weapon because I'll get a visit from the FBI, but you know what I'm talking about. We've been given a gift and we need to use it. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay. So then, Spencer, if you could bring up the number two point about President Trump's champion. Okay. So I found this pretty interesting. This happened on September 8th, 2 days before Charlie Kirk, right? He passed, was shot or was assassinated on the 10th. He meets over at the Museum of the Bible, which is really, you know, a good golf hit away, I guess, maybe two golf hits away from the White House. And if you roll down there, he announces this religious thing. And what I found was interesting, if you look to his, I guess, right there, if you look to the right of him, that guy's named Scott Turner. He's the one that took Ben Carson's position, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Okay. Scroll up here. What he's asking people to do, okay, and we're going to put this chat, this link in there. He says, affirm our nation's founding principles, calls on Americans to come together in prayer, okay, because we got 250 years, all right, that's about, and he's got 70 faith organizations, new rules protecting
America. I'm going to play coach here. I don't care whether you don't like Donald Trump or you don't think he's a perfect Christian. And I don't care if maybe these organizations upset you. Do it on your own. But this is a great idea. Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, well, this is outlining his policy, right? I'm just explaining to you because a lot of people, I have not heard this. I mean, Coach didn't bring this up. Maybe he knew about it or maybe he didn't. But it's irrelevant. But what I'm trying to do is share information with you. Look at that. It says, new rules protecting Americans' right to pray in public schools. Well, right there is your marching orders for those who are listening to go into public schools and pray, right? I mean, Scott, the gentleman, Joe Kennedy, you know, the guy that won the right to pray on the football field, a coach, right, from Washington State, all right, and there was a movie out about him. So anyways, what I'm saying is there's this here. Okay, so Spencer's going to put that in the chat. But I want to share the next thing, Spencer, that I did the number three thing here, which is the
Lynn and Mary will get to you quickly.
Hang in there. Right. Okay. This is a thing from Christianity Today, and this is where I think is what I'm trying to get to go. Go down there a little bit there. Okay. What when you read these in the chat, what are they looking for? When you extrapolate further, okay, go back, keep going. All right. He talks about 10 people. Stop. About 10 people. All right. You'll have to see where it says 10 people getting together once a week and praying. All right. Well, I found that very interesting because there was 50 days before that on July 20th. There's a little church called St. John's Church. It's kind of yellow next to the White House. BLM caught it on fire, and President Trump walked the Bible over. A few months later, he got a little hot water for that one. I was praying at that church and started Refiner's Fire at the church next to the White House. 50 days from when this event occurs on September 8th, asking for people to pray over what? 10 churches, okay? 10 is a very large number in the Bible, and people know me as the numbers guy, right? The reason I do that is because you're missing part of the message if you don't appreciate how God has laid things out, okay? There's 10 commandments, right? Okay, so there's all kinds of 10s. You know, Moabite can't come back into the generation, to the faith until 10 generations, okay? So I'm looking at this and I'm like, he's saying to find 10 people. I'm saying find 10 churches. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is working amongst different aspects of different people, telling us this is a very spiritual time and we better take the reins on that horse and ride it as far as you can, because you don't know how long you're going to be able to ride that horse. And so those chat will be in there, and then you can just go up to Refiner's Fire. Prayer, Spencer, and 2025.com. Yes, because we're in the year 2025. Okay. And they're working on the counter. Okay. There was a little glitch still with adding the churches. I think he said we got another 50 to add. So, but you can mark. Okay. Go back up to that map. This is your home territory. All right. If you're not willing to pray over 10 churches between now and December 21st over your city, and the judgment of God falls on your city, and really, really bad things happen, and you've been, let's just say, provoked to good works by me saying, please read the Refiner's Fire in agreement, because being in agreement is a spiritual arrow. That's why communion is a spiritual arrow. We all agree on the same thing. This is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is a remission of our sins, right? That's an agreement. So when we read the Refiner's Fire prayer that the Holy Spirit will come upon these churches, hey, if they're not operating right, who's the best one to give them a spanking? Jesus. If they are operating right, who needs to put a dome of protection of the Holy Spirit of fire against that church because people are praying against it? You don't think division's trying to come into that church? If truth is being spoken, people are being healed, the gospel is being spread, you don't think that you're on the radar of the demonic entities and witches and warlocks in that area? They are. So find 10 churches in your city. Abraham negotiated with God, with Lot. If you find 10, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. If we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, we don't want that to happen to our local cities, our local schools, right? So take this seriously. President Trump has opened the door. And if you don't see the Holy Spirit connecting and all these different things that are not connected together, nobody got together and planned this whole thing out. God's given us an open door. So thank you, JR, for that.
Thanks, Craig. Craig is an equipment manager like myself. He's equipped you. He's given you tools that you can use. And there's several of us out there doing that. Thanks a lot, Craig. Really appreciate it. Lynn, come on down. If you're there. Yep. Are you there, Lynn?
I didn't realize my mic was on, son. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Rachel? Rochelle, I'm sorry.
Hey, JR. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Good morning. Good morning, team. Listen, you had asked the question about communion, and I wasn't going to say anything. It's my dogs. I'm sorry. But I just wanted to share real quick with you guys some of the things that jump out in my mind about communion. You break the bread, and that's because you can't share anything unless it's broken. And the shed blood, you know, the wine, the juice represents the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, the new covenant symbolizing the covenant that God made with us through Christ. And this bread of life, it's more than just something you're going to put in your body and eat. It's your spiritual food. It's nourishment for the believers. And I just want to take a minute and thank Joe for allowing us to remember him every Friday through this avenue, through this venue, and give thanks, because it's a way for us to remember he is the one who brings forth everything, the fruit of the vine. And I'm just thankful to have somewhere to go to do that. I don't have a great church here in Florida, so I'm still looking, but I will be praying, Craig.
You're in one right now, Michelle. You're in one right now. Thank you very much.
That's right.
Mary Kelly, do you have a comment?
Hi, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Okay. Thank you so much. Michael W. Smith, he's not a Caleb singer. He's a traditional singer. So he has a brand new song called Communion. And I'm just putting it out there if anybody would like to listen to it. It's so beautiful.
I love it.
And then I need some guidance about, you know, I'm working in this pro-life center, and these women come in, and men, and I show them the baby, the ultrasounds, but they hear the heartbeat, and they're like, they're still going to get an abortion. And so I get mad, and I tell them, you're killing your baby. And that's not the right thing to say. You know, I get in trouble for saying that because I'm not acting like Jesus, and, you know, with my words. So I need help with that. And it really touched me the other day. I'm sorry, I can't think of the crawfish daddy guy from Louisiana.
Dale? Pastor
yeah,
Dale.
He's awesome. So he shared that story the other day. He was outside the abortion place, and the woman, you know, they were just praying, and the woman stopped because he was caring and loving, and I'm sure he didn't say, you're going to kill your baby. So I need help with that so I can use God's words. Thank you.
Yeah, any suggestions? I know Jesus.
Can I help with that one, JR?
Go ahead, Craig.
Okay. So when Jesus left, he said, we're his hands and feet, right? So our bodies are the vessels of Christ. So what this poor woman doesn't realize in totality is that she's denying the opportunity for Christ to work through this child. We don't know what this child's going to grow up to be. Is he going to be the next Samuel? Is he going to be the next David? Is he going to be the next John the Baptist? Whatever he is, okay, you have limited the opportunity of the Lord to work through this child. And if you put it in those terms, okay, it's a lot easier to kind of, you want to impact a person's spirit, right? Not put them back on their heels. So, are they, you know, taking the life of that one? Without doubt, okay? But we want to speak into the person's heart, and hopefully that will help.
Dale, go ahead.
Well, hallelujah. I wasn't quite where, I was hearing some of that. I was pouring a cup of coffee because Hebrews. But I do want to share on the communion thing. There's a very profound thing that I would like to share here, and I pray that it becomes a teaching moment. You know, the road to Emmaus, Jesus is risen. He is walking with these two. He begins to describe, because they looked at him and said, haven't you heard? Haven't? So they did not see, nor did they recognize Jesus. But when you get into Luke, we are in Luke chapter 24, and in verse 30, so I'm just bringing it down. You got to read all of this, but the word grace means divine revelation. That's what it is. Christ, when Jesus doesn't show up in your life, Jesus has been in and through the earth. But when he opened your eyes, you then see clearly. And what Rochelle said, communion is our spiritual food. It spiritually feeds your spiritual eyes. Listen to this profound thing that happens with this communion. It's the first time communion's taken after the resurrection with the two men on the road to Emmaus, verse 30. It says, and when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it and breaking it, and he began to give it to them. Verse 31, watch this. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. Do you see that? This is at the point of communion. It is Luke 24, 30 and 31. They're reclining at the table. He breaks the bread. He blesses it. He begins to give it to them in verse 31. So 30 and 31. There you go. And it came to pass, he sat and ate meat with them. He took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them. And their eyes were open. Then they knew him. See this? Do you see how powerful that is? This communion opens our eyes to things that we do not see that is right around us. And you're muted.
Mary, hang in there, Dale. When you are you in a position where they're taking an image of the child? Is that where you are? They can see it? I guess not. I guess not. Okay. Thanks, folks. Thanks. Hey, if you would play B for us. Okay. Sorry about that.
Yes, this is Mary. Yes, Mary. I am. That's my job. I do the ultrasounds and I do the heartbeat. I do everything. And then we spend a lot of time talking to them, listening to them.
You're with the lady that's thinking about getting an abortion, and you're seeing the baby in the womb, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you say things like, "Oh, did you see that move? And cute that is?" Or do you do that? You say those sort of things?
Yeah, it's amazing. And then some of them will start crying, and then other ones are just—they're so hardened.
Yeah. And maybe wonder what, you know, I wonder whether whether he or she will be a doctor or a teacher, or, and then look at them and say, what do you think?
Yes, that's a good idea. I could do that.
Yeah.
Thank
asking you. Questions, always asking questions is important. Telling somebody their baby's ugly or that you're doing the wrong thing. People don't want to hear that, but if you get them, if you can share your feelings with them in a manner like, here's what I'm thinking. Wow, gorgeous child. Look at that. See the hand moving there. And I just, you know, I wonder, you know, and when they grow up, what do you think they're going to be? And do you think they're going to have a family and yada, 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 things like that?
Yes, thank you so much. That's excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Hope that helps. Yeah, go ahead and play that one, B, if you would.
Yep.
Program should be, how do we keep the family together and put dads back in the family? That is the number one priority. We don't have to overthink it. Every number gets better for every community if dads are around. Every number gets worse when dads are not around. Unfortunately, in the Black community, dads are the most absent of any community. About 2/3 of all Black youth will be raised without a stable father around. And I know it's crazy, right? And that little precious angel of yours deserves to have a father around. And, you know, for daughters and for sons, it's different things. For a daughter, that's a father figure to look up to say, that is how a man should act and someone that I ought to one day marry, someone that will protect me from a vicious world, and someone that makes me understand what strength and not brutality looks like, what justice but not revenge looks like. To have a father figure is a silent way of forming a child to be a mature citizen. And unfortunately, as we remove dads from families, government has come in and has taken the place. So some people need help and they need social assistance. All of that should be about incentivizing the dad staying around, not the dad leaving. Unfortunately, with welfare, you can get more money for single mother assistance. And so, you agree, we're actually subsidizing single motherhood more than we are subsidizing family formation. And so I'm glad to hear about the Fatherhood Initiative. And if I may speak to the men out there, you are a coward and a petulant child if you impregnate a woman and abandon her. You have a moral obligation to stay with the women of your choosing, hopefully in the confines of marriage. This idea that men can just abandon women and, you know, leave the consequences without any responsibility has done such great, it's been a catastrophe for our country. So that's my answer, and I'll say this. The Democrat Party does not talk about dads at all. The Republican Party, we are talking about how men can be men again in the home, take responsibility, provide for your family, and with strong families comes smaller government and a better future.
Thank you so much. And I do.
When you think of family, especially the American family, what do you think of? I think of child abuse. 50% of children are not living with their biological mother and biological father. And they're born with an inherent need. I'll call it a software, part of the software package, for a mother, female, and a father, male. The child knows the difference. And when you deny that, you deny that child that, either one of the parents, and I'll say especially the father, because the father is the supposed to be the authoritative figure in the family. And again, children know the difference between male and female. No matter what role you're trying to play or what role you're acting in or what kind of an operation you've had, they know, inherently know the difference, and they need it. And when you take one of those out of that equation, I can tell you from personal experience, you spend the rest of your life trying to fill that vacuum that's created from there. And it is nothing you can do. Early on, I tried alcohol, sex, sports, business. Some choose gangs. It's a desperate need to fill that gap. And then we put those children, if the parents even stay together, we put those children in government-run indoctrination centers. You know, this month is LGBTQ Pride Month. I'm sorry, LGBTQ History Month. And many, if not most, all the schools, they're going to have a portion of it in those schools celebrating LGBTQ individuals, practices. Schools teach children evolution is fact. Life has no meaning. Morals are relative. Multiculturalism, diversity. Man, not God, is the measure of all things. The state is your daddy. No wonder fathers are leaving. The state is your daddy. And here's another thing that they teach, that as a child, you're a victim. And there's a perpetrator. And in today's society, that perpetrator is generally the white Christian male. And we have to stop this insanity. One of the things I've done with our local school board is, first of all, they won't really acknowledge that they've done the LGBTQ History Month, although we know they're doing it. So I said, okay, October, LGBTQ History Month. Why don't we have a Natural Family History Month in November? Silence. They don't know what to do. They don't expect. Listen, the LGBT community, you have a stage. They have the entire stage. And they don't want to let, first of all, they said, well, we just want to be on stage. And then we want kind of a leadership role. But they want the entire stage, and they have it. So what we need to do is what they did, is to say, well, we want a place on the stage too. Is that okay? And if we don't get it, then we become the victims, right? Because that's what they've done. They made themselves victims. And Americans are sympathetic to victims. But the whole family situation, yeah, you have, I think, 47% of first marriages end in divorce. And then I think 60% of second marriages, and then probably 70% of any marriages after that. You have thruples now. You have three fathers. Maybe one acting as a mother. Who knows? But what we've, the doors that we've opened up are just incredible, but we can close them. But the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. The vision we need to cast, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is that of the family. One biologically born man, father, one biologically born woman, mother, in a lifelong, committed, monogamous relationship. I've been divorced. That doesn't change the truth. When I grew up, I'm okay, you're okay. If it feels good, do it. And look where we are today. Look where we are today. Yeah, there's a father problem. There's also a family problem. We have to pass laws that give parents the right to take care of the medical side of a child's upbringing. We put our children in government-run schools, complete strangers, and leave them there for 6-7 hours a day. And then after 12 years, they don't respect you as a mother or father. They don't have your values. They have whatever society values that the unions want them to have. Jeff Klein, come on in. I'm rattling here. Sorry about that.
Hey, JR. This would be for Mary Kelly.
Okay.
Back to the abortion thing and the woman getting ready to murder that baby. I think there was a song, and I think it was done by Sheldon Mencer. I think. I'm going to check into this. But he sang a song about the mother getting the opportunity to bake cookies with a little girl or a child, or to teach it how to walk, or to all the positive things that are going to happen. Read a bedtime story that you're going to have. And back in the motivational days, it was sell the sizzle, not the steak. So if instead of telling her you're going to kill that baby and then turn her off, let's talk about, hey, think how happy that baby will be to make cookies with mama, or what? Just give them examples.
Yes.
And I'll bring them to tears. They think that song is powerful. I'll have to find that and I'll get it to you. But maybe, you know, do that. Sell the sizzle, not the steak.
Amen. Amen. Martin, I'm going to put my timer on. Or maybe can you
Good morning. Good morning. I'm at work, BJ. I just want to say what an awesome topic. And I'm so glad to hear you filling in for Coach. This is awesome. So God bless everybody. God bless everybody that's listening on all of Coach's platforms. I will only take up a little bit of your time, folks. And God bless what I'm about to say. I killed my baby. And as a father, now redeemed by the blood of Christ, that pain never really goes away now. It didn't bother me when I was not God's son, but on occasions, and especially like this topic, BJ, it bothers me. It reminds me of the horror that I did as a father. I forced my then live-in girlfriend to abort our child. And I just want to say to all the fathers out there, and if you would allow me, BJ, I have a second point. I just want to say to all the fathers out there, be a man. Come to Christ. You will be forgiven. I want to offer both of you, the mom and the dad, a book that helped me tremendously once I became a disciple of Christ. I was convicted of my sin that I had committed years and years and years prior. And that book is called I Will Hold You in Heaven by Dr. Jack Hayford. I Will Hold You in Heaven by Dr. Jack Hayford. It's a small read, Dad. It's a small read, Mom, who killed a child. I want you to read that. And it will bring you strength and hope and healing. Second point. Mary, I want to pray for you right now like Laura Ann would. I'll bet Laura Ann's in this group right now. In Father God's name, I come to you humbly as a once murderer. I pray that every woman that wants to abort your child, you would use Mary you would use Mary to speak life to this woman who's so confused, so frightened. She's got her boyfriend, like an evil Martin once was, telling this woman, kill it, or I will leave you today. I pray against that evil spirit that has infiltrated this mom, and I pray for Mary, your hands-on servant, Holy One of Israel, that you move through that dear woman Mary's heart, mind, emotions, words, hands, her technological skills on the all of the apparatuses that dear mama is hooked up to. And I pray that you open up the eyes of these mothers that Mary comes in contact with, and that you save your children through the intervention that dear Mary is willing to give you as an act of worship to you, O God. Move through your servant, Mary, like you moved through the mother of Jesus named Mary. Go, sweetheart, and do what he says. In Jesus' name, I pray. I agree with everyone. Craig, you are awesome. Great counsel. Pastor Dale, great counsel. I would just add to this, putting myself back in my evil days. Mary, if you, and I'm just curious, and feel free to answer even after the show, do you get dads that come in there with these young ladies?
Great question.
I want to know that, and you can answer that whenever you can, Mary. I would love that answer. But yeah. Let me have this, please, BJ.
Go ahead.
So what I want you to do is I want you to minister like these dear men of God are saying to minister, Mary. You keep complimenting. What I needed was fulfillment. I felt horrible about myself when I made my girlfriend do that. But I was so full of anger, selfishness, and pride. What would have cut through that is, Martin, you're going to make a great dad. You're going to make a great dad.
Martin, you got some other folks that need to get in here. Make it quick.
You're going to make a great mother. That little child has such a great blessing. And I know that God was with you in that rape. He was weeping alongside of you, young lady. I know that about this great God that I serve. And I just want to say, I would love to speak to you and minister to you while you have this child. Here's my telephone number. And I know a great group of people that would come alongside you and help you raise that beautiful God-made baby.
We got an after show. We can share stuff like that.
God bless you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Ray, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Martin, I feel your pain. I did the same thing years ago, but you know, this is a powerhouse place to meet and share ideas. WEF, the World Economic, they get together and they brainstorm how they're going to affect our world. We're doing the same thing here. JR, this is how I affect my world, what you did here. All right? That led to my mayor signing this proclamation, celebrating it. Okay? The homosexuals, it's a history month. Keep going what you're doing because it's effective. Craig Mickle, whenever I get out in the streets, God bless you for what you're doing. Right here, power prayers from Randy Lemsford. Rochelle, Mel, what they're doing. I mean, this is a powerhouse. I can't believe the amount of influence that is happening here. And I just want to give all you guys a kudos. Even those that aren't mentioned that are in this queue, 70, 80, 100 people. You're the behind-the-scenes warriors. And we thank you for everything you do. Amen.
Thanks, Ray. By the way, I have a Saturday morning program, lastcallradio.live, lastcallradio.live. The entire month, we're going to have folks on like David Arthur that have been there and done that, testifying to, hey, you know, this isn't exactly what you've been told. As a matter of fact, it's not good. lastcallradio.live all month, 10 a.m. Eastern until noon. And we look for doers. We look and for equipment managers like we have here today. This is, there are so many opportunities out there, folks. So many opportunities. Take one. Just take the first step. It might be a phone call. Do something. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do something. We got about 5 minutes. Lorianne, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Just a couple things, and I'll try to make it super quick.
Please.
Y'all know that I'm post-abortive, right? Yep. I've coached and spoken in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people and shared my testimony. Mary, as a word of encouragement, you be hope. Hope is a verb. You be God's hope when you're doing the ultrasound on them moms. And those children, each and every one of them that you're doing the ultrasound on is a word of encouragement. Look at it as your grandchild and the excitement of getting to see your grandchild. And it's the Lord's child. And let the Holy Spirit do his thing through you. And that mom will be able to hear you. Single moms and it's a really hard road. And moms can't even be present. So it's not just not having dads there. The moms can't be there because they're run ragged pulling two roles, let alone fighting the birth father's mindset that's so perverted, right? Because they don't have to show up. So then as a single mom, you have to also face the government alone when your child's going to school because in the church, they will, just like with the Nazis, they will turn you in and say that you're a bad mom. Right? So that needs to be happening. And as I was listening to y'all, maybe there needs to be a movement and together maybe we can start going to college campuses, women like me and whoever else is on, and having men and women who are post-abortive. Because prison,
good stuff.
Every single prison, based on the statistics, has at least one abortion under their belt, the men's prisons, at least one, if not more.
Laura Ann, you just saw a need. There's your call.
Yeah, and I'm already counseling, and I'm probably going to do it, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And I'm already coaching single special needs families. Right.
How can we help you? Let us know. Get a hold of Coach. How can we help you? I mean, Martin would probably get involved with this. Mary, obviously, a lot of folks. Ray can help in terms of advice.
It's there's such a need to hear the other side of it. Right. October 22nd is when my child died. I will never forget it. I know it. I know what happened with it. I know when my child should have been born. I grieve it because there's no funeral. There's no naming. And regarding the rape, Margaret Becker, I think it was, or Amy Grant, there's some of the lyrics are called, I was in the middle of your pain and then in the middle of your shame. So a woman who's got DV, which is domestic violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that if the woman has been raped and I've been sexually assaulted, understanding that God was in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the shame, right? And she doesn't have to wear that.
Amen. Laura, we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go. Maybe in the after show we can get a little more in detail. I think it's a great idea to get that on campus, and now is a great time to do that. I want to thank everybody who helped out this morning. I want to thank Coach for the opportunity to talk to you all. If you want something to do to start with, go to our website, naturalfamilystrong.com. naturalfamilystrong.com. You'll see up there a actions, parents, about us. There should be a promise in there somewhere. Go to the promise, natural family. Where is that? Actions. I don't know. There should be a promise up there somewhere. Go to the promise, take it. And we could use the numbers. We could use the numbers. Again, I want to thank everybody for helping out this morning. And stay tuned for the after show. We've opened up some good doors here, Mary. And Lorianne, I like where that went to. There you go. Anyway, BJ Edwards, I'm sorry, J.R. Harrison, BJ Edwards on Saturday morning. Thanks for listening in today, folks. And we're out of here.